We are live. And we got to start adding Keely to this if he's going to keep showing up. We got to add him to
not,
the.
I'm not on here?
No, not yet. It just says Clark and Kevin right now. We got to add you.
That's rude.
What's up, fellas?
How we doing?
Happy Tuesday, everybody.
Likewise. Been action packed.
It has been an action packed.
Phones all day. I feel like this is my break. I love it.
That's actually a good point. It is. Uh oh, where'd Keely go?
We immediately lost Keely.
That's okay.
I'm back.
He's back. He's back.
I'm trying to get it set up. Yeah, StreamYard. I'm like, you know, I'm struggling here. You guys are LinkedIn Live experts. I'm a rookie. I'm hitting like straight to my audience. It's like, it's asking me to do things. Maybe I'm just gonna.
You were trying to take us over.
Oh, all right.
Yeah, StreamYard. I see what you're doing.
Oh, why the button there?
All good.
What's new in your world, guys?
Well, so I guess the Bitcoin ETF was a sell the news event, but I digress. Who cares? You know, who cares about that?
Oh, no. If I get you two going on crypto, we're never going to cover prospecting today. I forgot Keely's one of you, too.
Who cares about a 20% drawback? In
who cares about 20% going to 30%? Who cares?
That's why we're learning prospecting today.
That is true. That's why we're learning how to make money.
So yeah.
Money.
Yeah. Yeah, the whole unregulated financial stuff. How's that working for you? I'm going to stick to what I know, which is prospecting and the dollar.
That's fair. Fiat money. All right. Now, today we have come together to talk sales. We wanted to go a little more in depth. Clark and Keely are pretty much superstars when it comes to this. So really wanted to tee you guys up when it comes to Sales Navigator. Show people some really cool things that are actionable advice that you can start using today to build target lists. So why don't we just go?
Let's just do it.
All right, good. So the one and first thing I want to highlight is a situation that is happening to me right now. And I guarantee a lot of other recruiters are either don't know, or you're about to find out. And it's called Sales Navigator, y'all. Perhaps you have been using LinkedIn Recruiter your whole recruiter life. I have for the last 4 years, and I had no idea the power of Sales Navigator until Clark over here showed me the amazingness that is that, all the like how functional it was and how much better I could connect with my prospects. So Clark, with that said, what is it that you like so much about Sales Navigator? What do we want to kind of discuss today and start the foundation of talk about?
Yeah, it's let me post this quick on the feed. What are we talking? Prospecting and Sales Navigator today. Let's go. Oh, it's got a great screenshot of you. Perfect. Oh. Yeah, I love it. All right, Sales Nav. I'm with you, Kevin. I never use LinkedIn Recruiter. You know, I was always used to doing the old school way at Aerotech. We had our internal system. We had Salesforce, but I had to go out, get meetings, right? The traditional way. I think you had more of the modern day recruiter, right? Recruiter seat, you know, figure it out. In-mails are king, queen. In-mails are everything, right? Get that reply rate so you can get your credit back, all that good stuff.
That's right.
Now, there is nothing wrong with LinkedIn Recruiter except for, am I allowed to say this on LinkedIn Live, except for how they sell it to you, which is that's
100%
whole Ponzi scheme.
LinkedIn's gonna shut this down.
Yeah, they're gonna shut it down.
You triggered the AI bot.
Yeah, whatever. Come after me, LinkedIn. I pay the bills. It's fine. I still pay for the tools. It's all good. And no, it's been great. Look, I mean, my wife got in recruiting a few months ago. We got our recruiter seat this week, and there's power in both. And that's all we want to get to is, if you're on LinkedIn, you got to, in my opinion, you should be using both. Now, if you're starting out, cost is a factor, right? You want to make that placement and reinvest in a recruiter seat, ideally, SalesNav, $99 a month. You can't beat that price with Recruiter Lite and Recruiter Pro. So we're going to go in today, and I'll screen share. I'll show, you know, some of the tricks of the trade with Sales Navigator, how to use that, especially if you're doing anything in sales, whether you're full desk or split desk and sales only. We'll show you how to build account lists, you know, account targeting lists, lead lists, all the differences, some of the nuances. But really, a couple of years ago, when I came I came on the scene, if you will, right? I started posting content. I made a video of Sales Nav versus Recruiter Pro. It was kind of bold because I had never actually used Recruiter Pro. I just kind of seen it. But I know the difference because Sales Nav with some different tools, you could, at the time, you could get way more productivity out of LinkedIn than just Recruiter. Now things have changed a little bit with some tools and they are more accepting to Recruiter Pro and everything else. But my thing is always efficiency. Right? How effective can you be in your workflow and efficient every single day? Because if you're doing that, that builds over and over and over again, right? If you can save 30 minutes here, if you can save 3 hours on a process that you got to do every week, well, 3 times 52, right? You saved 150 hours in a year or over that. And, you know, per week, that's stuff that you could spend more closer to the money on submittals, on interviews, on better meetings, and like doing other things. So my thing has always been like, where on the top of the funnel can I help recruiters and salespeople to kind of be more efficient, be more effective, systemize some things and be exposed to things while saving some money on tools? You don't just buy tools just to have them, but actually utilize what you have and get more out of it. So that's how all this started a couple of years ago. It's evolved significantly since then. I've evolved in terms of what I've seen, having talked to thousands of recruiters by now and just gotten so many on calls and messages, emails, everything. And so that's the starting point.
I think you touched on something important that we definitely want to, you know, touch on. And it's, you know, how many times in our conversations do we hear people say that they just don't have enough time for content, right? Yeah. And it goes to what you're saying, right? How can I be more efficient with my time? And that's kind of the discussion today. So in terms of how to leverage content and automation, like where should people be spending their time?
Look, if you're listening to this, if you're on LinkedIn, your market's probably on LinkedIn. I'm assuming that's why you have a recruiter seat. I'm assuming you want to get more out of LinkedIn. You might just not know where to start. Or maybe you've gone Sales Navigator and you had no idea how to use it, right? Or, you know, is it effective as a standalone tool? I think it can be. I think it can be way more effective combined with another tool as well. And so, like, that's what we got to look at. But I think just even what I've noticed is content and automation, we've talked about this before, if it's put in the hands of someone without a sales foundation, it's pretty meaningless, right? Or even a recruiting foundation. If you're just starting out, you can create momentum all day, right? You can pick a niche and all that, but you still got to get the reps. And then what we teach in the Digital Recruiter Mastermind and what I've been working on with Keely on our calls with clients, like our one-on-one calls, is like, what's the plan, right? We got stuff out there, but where are your target accounts, right? Where are your contacts? And it's so important to have that visual, to have your value prop, your ICP, and to have that plan, because it just becomes so clear every week what you're focused on. And it makes it easier to hit your meetings and to break accounts and to do all the things. And then the content, the automation, you know, all that stuff with, that you're using with the Sales Navigator is just amplifying what you should already be doing day to day. Keela, you probably have thoughts on that too, because we've been covering this pretty hard this month with our clients.
Yeah. Well, two things. One, the spray and pray is dead. So without a plan, that's what you're doing. You're spraying and praying and hoping to get recs, hoping to get clients, and hope is not a strategy. And the other quote that I love is, if you fail to plan, you plan to fail. And that's what having a target list, having a plan every week, knowing who you're going after, using things like LinkedIn Sales Nav to create those targeted lists will set you up for long-term success. We're not sitting up here on stage saying it's going to happen overnight. We're not going to say like, oh yeah, use LinkedIn Sales Nav and tomorrow you're going to have 5 clients. No, but if you have a plan to execute on for the next 12 months, yeah, I think 5 clients is an attainable goal, if not more, right? Most of the people we work with, they're striving for 8 to 10 this year. And that's what you should be striving for, right? Mm-hmm. That's, you're just one or so a month, and pretty much in the early stages, it'll be zero. I'm just going to admit it. Like, you're not going to probably sign one client in your first month, maybe not your second month, but your third month, it starts to compound, your fourth month. And by 6, 7, 8, that's where it really starts to pick up. But none of that's going to be possible if you don't have a plan in place.
Well, it's not just, you probably could sign a client. I think what we're talking about is, how do you sign good clients, right? Good clients with recs that are going to close, that are going to pay, right? That you're not going to be chasing your tail on, because the chasing the tail bit is what kills so many recruiters and agencies with this rec, just the time wasted on that. And people at the end of the year, like, why didn't we hit our goal? It's like, how much time did you spend on stuff that was never going to close? And when in the process did you find out it wasn't going to close? Was it 12 weeks in? right, where it probably should have been from the first call, first interaction. There's a lot of signals there. And so you have to build the list, which we're going to do, but then it allows you more time to understand those signals. If you could do all this stuff that we're going to show you in Sales Navigator, automations and content, why we want to systemize that, because we have to spend way more time, ears to the ground, picking up on those signals, those buying signals or lack thereof. And that's what's typically missed in the rush and the rat race of recruiting day to day. Like, that's what we've keyed in on. Like, that's what's important, right? So what can we do on the front end to build out the system to minimize, right, that wasted effort? Like, curious that's question. Everything. Yeah.
How are recruiters missing those signals?
Keely, you want to go first?
I would say they miss them because they're stretching themselves so thin. They're just running a million miles in every direction, which looks like this, spinning in circles, right? As opposed to running a million miles in one direction, you're actually making distance. You're actually learning things, right? Because you're spending time on the same account over and over again, and you're building your knowledge about that account. Because, yeah, it doesn't do you any good to get into an account. And again, this is the spray and pray method where you learn something and then you move on to another bunch of accounts and you try to come back to that stuff later. Whatever you learn might not even be actionable anymore. And so what was the point in the first place of you acquiring information? You should be acquiring information and then building on it and creating a story and creating basically a case study on why that company should be working with you. But that's only going to happen if you, again, have a hyper-focus on it. Because if you don't, you're going to miss it. It's kind of like, I love metaphors. It's like, I've been married now for 10 years. But if you're gone 7 dates in 7 days with 7 different people, you're probably not going to remember all the stuff you learned on date one. You'll mix things up, things of that nature. But if you go on 7 dates with that same person, you learn more and more each and every time. So by the time the 7th date comes around, you really understand the person you're sitting down with for dinner.
Yeah. And now in recruiting, but in Kevin, in recruiting, I was going to say we do that 20 times, just like you do it with 20 women. No, I'm just kidding. He's off screen. He's off screen. But you got to replicate that process with 20 accounts, not women, just married men, but 20 accounts. Like, that's – Keely's absolutely right. What if you had 7 meetings with 20 accounts this year? Like, how much more is that going to do? Could you break 5 of those accounts and potentially get 100,000, 200,000 in placements from each of them? That's your 500 to a million and potentially new business, right? And – sometimes you don't even need that in new business with some of the stuff that you have with old account, you know, active accounts or inactive accounts, right? That can be on your target list as well. But as Keely said, like, or alluded to, you got to own your strength, own your niche. We covered that a ton on Friday, right? Pick the vertical. Stop trying to be everything to everyone, because your cold market doesn't believe it, right? Your referrals could believe it. Clients that you've worked with believe that you can do everything. But when you're talking brand new prospecting, they don't know. Like, they've seen the generalist recruiter, it's a dime a dozen. The specialist recruiter, they don't see as much. Right? That's why it's so important to spend the time prospecting and really go after and own those accounts you're going to go after, align that with your profile. It makes your messaging, which we may cover a little bit today, much more effective, or the ability to be much more effective and kind of generate those conversations you want to generate, right? And kind of have that personalized, not only talk about personalized first message, but that personalized second message, right? Start the conversation with the first message, personalize it after the response, right? You're able to do all those fun things if you align your targeted strategy with the prospecting list.
Nah, I love that. Can we kind of dive in a little bit into sales?
Yeah.
Or kind of show.
Yeah, let's just do it. Let's just do it. Let me share my screen here.
Nice.
Wait, was I already sharing my screen?
You were not.
Oh no, okay, cool. I'm turning the key over here. I can't figure out where I am. With the tech. I'm just kidding, bud.
I mean, it's true. Sometimes what's the saying? You don't know what you don't know. And I don't know much about StreamYard stuff. So learning experience for me.
Dude, you and me both, man. I got this overlay thing on. I was pretty proud of myself. I've done that like 4 lives in a row. So I'm pretty pumped. But all right. We're always learning. That's what you think, digital recruiter. You're just always learning. All right. I'm going at Sales Nav here. Again, for those that love in-mails, you get 50 a month. And they roll over for up to 3 months on sales staff. So for the in-mail people, you do get those. They do work. That's so you could get your typical recruiter seat, right? $150 a month, $50 with sales nav. Emails are fun, but we're going to show you the power of connection requests. But first, we have lead list, which is going to look a little bit similar to some of the stuff you have in Recruiter, although you have the fun, like, viewed your profile recently filter. You have the posted on LinkedIn filter, which is really fun that you don't get on Recruiter. You don't have the open to work. But again, when you really want to get passive candidates and people that haven't been hit up all the time, there's a nice balance here on the candidate you can get with Sales Navigator that a lot of people are not sourcing for. So there's a competitive advantage there in terms of standing out that we've seen. So it's fun, right? You could build the lead list here and you could do, what do we think, Kevin? Let's do, we'll do software. We talked about that right before, right?
Yep, SaaS.
US, we have software development, right? That's the everyone's favorite. I want to work with pre-seeded, you know, just about to get funded SaaS companies. Well, don't we all?
Yes.
Don't we all? So you can kind of build a lead list here, right? You got your seniority level, which you have on Recruiter as well. Let's do a little company headcount, 11 to 50, right? They're a growing company. Connect with the VP, right? Do we want to connect with the engineering managers? Right? Post it on LinkedIn. I can't imagine there's going to be too many people. 116. Look at that. You got engineering, VPs, software development that have posted on LinkedIn. You got 116 people. Well, that's a fun way to build a list, right? You can start targeting them now. Also,
wait, did you say fun?
Was that fun?
Did you say the word fun? Oh, okay. I just thought. Just curious.
I'll pause real quick because I feel like you're skipping over something. You checked one box, but I think it's kind of important. It's probably second nature to you. But can you explain why you checked the post on LinkedIn? Why is that important to you?
Yeah. See, that's why you guys are here to rein me in. Because I get excited and I just fly through these steps. Posted on LinkedIn is because they are active. We are always looking for those signals of who is active on LinkedIn. That is why it's so important. Now, there's some rules like engineering is going to maybe post a lot less than, say, HR, right? Or sales, right? And that is the piece of it, but that is why I kind of always looked at that because they're more active, so they're probably going to respond quicker. And that's what I'm always looking for in terms of increasing my connection and reply rate.
Perfect. Just want to make sure because that was a little checkbox, but a lot of important.
I'm glad that you stopped me. So you could also, fun little thing that you can do, right, for those people, you know, if you have accounts or leads, right, you could create a do not contact list. And this is part of the workflow thing that as you build this once and you use it as a filter, it's really nice because you can keep adding accounts or leads to do not contact and it will remove them for your list. So as you're building lists, say every week, and you get to add that, you don't have to worry about hitting those people up, right? You just can constantly build up on the account list and the lead list. It's a huge reason why I absolutely love Sales Navigator. Really, really big. And we'll kind of get into the account list as well. You also have some different, you know, you could remove save leads, saved accounts, but this is a little bit more targeted. Anything I skipped there?
No, but I see a comment about
what do we got?
As a recording for future reference.
Oh,
I should finally address that right now. It just came through. So
yeah, well, I've been keeping these up right now. Subscribe to the Digital Recruiter YouTube page because they will be up on there, and we are also in the works of creating a Digital Recruiter library where we're going to have a bunch of this stuff. So stay tuned for that. But for right now, it'll be on my LinkedIn page. So you know, follow me, connect with me, hit the button, all that stuff. You know, you can bookmark it there, but it'll eventually go to the Digital Recruiter YouTube page and be hosted there for a little bit too.
Of course.
Appreciate that, Keely.
Yep.
Glad to be listening to this. Awesome. Love, Adil loves your hat, Kevin. So there you go. I like your hat too.
Well, appreciate you.
All right, Tim. All right. Sweet. Where was that? Okay. Back to it. Now, the fun. The fun begins. Keely, talk to me why target accounts and a dream. People have heard Dream 100, Dream 500, Dream Big, Dream whatever, right? Why is it so helpful to have some of the accounts, like some idea of who you want to go after. Have at least a plan, even if you don't know a ton about them, just to have a plan and idea of accounts to go after first.
Yeah, I think you probably kind of answered it in your question, right? How can you have a plan if you don't even know who you're going after, right? Like, oh, my plan every week is, I don't know, because I don't know who I'm targeting, right? Like, that's where it starts. It's literally the building block. So understanding whatever you want to call it, Dream 100, Dream 500, Top 50, like, having that is the bedrock to everything else you do, because you start there, and then you continue to work your way down. If I have 50 accounts, well, I know within those 50 I'm reaching out to, I keep math simple, 10 contacts in each one. There's 500 contacts right there. And I know with those 500, I'm going to be making 40 outbound reaches today, right? And 40 over the next 5 days, there's 200 touches. And it just keeps going down and down and down. But again, a better way to probably be up and up and up, use our construction metaphor from last week. This is the bedrock that you're building everything else on. And if you don't have that, you're going to be all over the place, right? You're going to come in week over week and you're just not going to know what you should be doing. And even worse, all the effort that you put in last week, you now lose the momentum because you didn't have a plan. And you are like, okay, cool, like the shiny object syndrome. Oh, this account looks cool, I'm going to go after it for this week, right? Or maybe this week and a half. And you don't get a hold of anybody. You move on. You forget about the account. And then 3 months later, like, oh, wait, that account, I'm going to go after him again. Well, people forget about you already within 5 minutes of reading the email, talking on the phone. What about 5 months in between? They're certainly not going to remember you then. But if you have like a plan and you're building on that week over week over week, you're gaining momentum with whoever it is you're targeting. You're gaining momentum within the account. You're, just like we talked at the top of the call, you're becoming better educated on what is happening in that specific account. I think even tying into the content piece you were talking about a minute ago too as well, Clark, was you're learning to speak their lingo, right? Like their terminology, what's going on in their account, what's happening in their company. And there gets to a point where you can pick up the phone, send a message where it is not only personalized, it's so relevant to what's happening within the company that they're at. It almost feels like you are an employee of that company, yeah. Right? I know, like going back to the software world, if I know a company's going through a migration, some dated migration, I know who's being, you know, who's doing the migration service, what cloud it's being hosted. I'm making up these terms, Kevin, so please save me here. But like, if I know all these things and it's directly tied to that account, and I'm able to craft a message to show that, that's going to hit home with them. They're gonna be like, wait, this person knows. They know what's going on. They know about this migration. They know we're moving to this. They know this is the challenge. It just has a profound effect versus someone who, again, is all over the place. They can't speak that same way, and they're just not going to have an impact when they reach out to prospects.
It's the confidence. All those things. You're building up your own confidence. So you feel like you belong in the market. You feel like you should be doing this. This is what you do. You find engineers for growing tech startups. You find salespeople for growing SaaS companies, right? You find project managers for construction companies. Like, this is what you do. You know the market. You know the comp they're looking for. You know what they care about, why they're replying, why they're not replying, all that stuff. All the stuff hiring managers don't have time to understand. You know, and you have that confidence. That's what you can't fake. At least not for that long in recruiting, right? Because it's like, all right, well, you get a shot, and then you're like, crap, how do I go find a superintendent, right? And then you get to go to find it, and it's like 3-4 weeks later, like, you haven't sent anyone, right? So it's, again, having those repeatable skill sets, knowing that niche, owning that niche, when you get your chance, you're going to be able to come through quickly, and that's how you get more business, right? That's also you leverage for more calls. Like, you're standing apart, not only from other agencies that are reaching out and knocking on the door, but you're standing out from that company, right? It's like they might not even bother trying to hire internally anymore because you're just running laps around them. And we have clients like that, Digital Recruiter, where the CEO, their first call for a role is to our recruiter, not their 5 internal recruiters. It's to their external recruiter. I mean, like, that's how ingrained you can get when you have this figured out and you build up the confidence. Like, you're Usain Bolt at a middle school track meet. Like, it's a joke, right? If you implement all this stuff. So, Kevin, you got that one. Well, give me a look, but you got it.
The visual is funny.
It made sense.
But yeah. To that point, and, you know, Keely, like me, loves the analogies. I mean, there's so much that goes back to the sports. I mean, look, the way you get confidence is reps. You know, I used to suck at basketball, right? And then I went and got a ball, and I dribbled, and I shot a lot and a lot. And then I came back to the gym over and over. And that's what let me know that, guess what? I can dribble and shoot, because I got believability. I got to visualize. I got to see it happen. It's, you have to build believability with yourself just as much as you build it with other people. And so those reps aren't just for them. It's also for you. Cause like, I mean, you need the confidence of knowing that you got this, and you need the confidence of knowing that they're willing to accept it, which is your research and you being that white glove solution. So I love the way you guys are talking on both sides. It's a believability with yourself, but it's with them too. So I love that.
And it's something as simple as like, yes, Sales Navigator. Yes, it's tactical. Yes, I'm going to show you guys more of this, but it's the tactical why it's so important, because this stuff takes work. So if you don't plan for it, you don't prepare and plan for success and to break accounts, it's so much energy is taken out of us in this industry. It's I mean, you're dealing with people, right? It's the whole Travis Janko, our buddy. He's like, his profile always says herding cats. Right? You're doing that with candidates and clients, like trying to gather all these pieces. So if you're doing that at every point in your business, it's exhausting. That's how people get burnt out. That's why it's just that. And then that kind of bleeds into their outreach, which is going to make it less effective. So like this stuff, this tactical stuff with a big strategy behind it makes it, dare I say, fun, right? Or less exhausting, but you got to put in the work here because you already know you're going to be dealing with a lot of stuff with interviews and submittals and offers and counter offers. Like that's just a given in this industry, but this stuff you can control, right? Your approach, your process, your planning, your preparation, your confidence, like you can control that, right? How you show up there every day. That's why this is so important. Then you have more time to spend on the stuff that is more variable, right?
Yeah, no, I mean, it really does. I mean, I don't want to get on. We're talking sales, so I don't want to get to the con.
It really does
all connect. And, you know, for anybody that sells transactionally, that's not thinking long term, to your point of just how much effort, time and energy we put into each prospect, for you to burn that bridge and have no opportunity for a future sale, it's a time suck. It's a complete time suck.
And that's your biggest asset right now is the time and the conversations. And do you build that up on it? Like, does that build up, or as Keely and Kevin have said, like, is it one-offs and you're not building anything from it? So with that said, let's dive in to the account side on the list. And by the way, if anyone's wondering, yes, there is a whole sales mastery course that we have on all this stuff, plus messaging and automation and building a pipeline and building the plan, all that good stuff. I got to get the link in the chat. We also have a content one that my friend Kevin helped a ton with. So did Ross, our other content coach, and myself. Heavily influenced on how both of these tie in together. But anyway, that's not for quite here now. Let's dive into what you guys want, which is, all right, how do I get these SaaS companies? And I got headcount here. I got industry here. I'll do headquarters of the U.S. We have some fun filters. You could do a hiring on LinkedIn filter. It's companies that they posted jobs on LinkedIn. So someone is checking those job postings, we hope. If they're not, that's a whole other problem that you can kind of twist the knife on, right? So that's helpful. You could do senior leadership changes, funding events in the last 12 months. I apologize to these companies. You're going to get hit up by every recruiter in the next 2 months for me showing this. But it is what it is. You can also do some revenue stuff here, right? Who knows if any companies will stick. They're still there. Okay, you got here. You could do department headcount. But think about this account list that we've built here. This is just 14 accounts. Let's do LinkedIn Live list. I know I probably spelled LinkedIn wrong. So say this is our 14 companies that are in SaaS. They meet our criteria. Right. We have different headcount, you know, all the stuff that we could add, technologies use. There's some fun stuff here. You could do same thing with account list, right? Your do not contact list here, which you could add. But we can go back. Here is what I love about Sales Nav. And guys, stop me if I'm going speeding racing through this, but I'll talk about it. I'll go through it and we can talk about it. Is this piece, you can go from account to lead, go to account list. And we can do LinkedIn Live, and it is employees just at those 14 companies pop up. Now, from here, the difference between this versus just the lead list is huge. Go ahead.
Can you just go back and do what you just did one more time and explain what you did one more time?
From here?
Yes.
So what I did is I built the account filters parameters that we're looking at. And I'm just kind of messing around. You can have a lot of fun with this. You can mess around with this for half an hour, hours, right? And kind of and search different companies. But hiring on LinkedIn, right? You could do recently funded. You don't even have to do this filter, right? And by the way, this pulls from Crunchbase, which I'm sure not a lot of you know about. You can also, if you have Crunchbase, like you could add companies here that you know, because this doesn't update. It might be 6 to 9 months behind. I think from what I remember, but you do that. These are different filters, right? You could do the 14 companies here. And then I added to a list here. And then I went over here and I added the list here and I can remove some of these other filters versus maybe I just want people in the U.S., the contacts in the U.S. from that list. And boom, I have all the employees of those 14 companies that are in the U.S. from that list. And now, so that's what I did. Did I cover it, Kevin?
Got it. You got it.
All right, man. Now we can do all the fun things. We could do post it on LinkedIn. We can do all that. We can do just by seniority level. So maybe we get all the C-level people, and there's 33 people. Well, that would be who I would start, you could potentially start targeting, right? You could go back to this list. And, we could do it all again. We could go here, we can get rid of this. We can do headcount. I mean, there's different headcount sizes that we could do. We could not do it by revenue, not do it by revenue, right? Maybe we want to go hiring on LinkedIn, but maybe right here. And maybe we just go through some pages and just do a little bit of digging, right? And this is how you could do some manual outreach and do all this. You can look at companies here. They have a job posting. Now I'm going to show you. I mean, this is insane that I'm showing all this for free, but that's fine. Where you could go here. You could add all these people to a list and they're hiring on LinkedIn. So Keely, what have we been talking about? That old school way of finding five contacts, which you had to like really figure it out how to get those five contacts. Well, now we got to meet at least 17 people. So if we have the right profile and we connect and we potentially even use some automation, we could have this stuff running on autopilot. I haven't even checked to see, what they're hiring for on LinkedIn. And again, I apologize to this company. They're probably going to get hit up by about 20 recruiters in the next 2 weeks. Santa Monica, my old stomping grounds. That's cool. Right? They have one opening, right? Sales, review time. And you have 76. Oh, interesting. All right. A lot of the sales roles usually don't have any applicants. But again, we got 1,000 companies we can go through. This is where you can do prospecting. This is where you can be super targeted. Guys, I'm going to stop talking. What are we thinking?
I was just writing it down just to break it down into workflow, right? Really what you did was the account page, that's your ICP. So if you're listening to this, who's my ideal customer profile from an account perspective? And Clark's example, it was 11 through 50, SaaS. You can get as details you want. We took that. Then we moved into all the contacts, right? We moved back to the lead page, which is all the employees there, which we don't want to reach out to all those people. They're not all of the buyer personas we're going after. So we went from ICP of accounts down to the buyer personas. We filtered that down. We just came up with a target list of these are the people we want to get in touch with. And then the last step as we continue to go down this funnel would be, what is our plan of attack to get in front of these individuals? Because if we're doing this the right way, we're saying, what was that, 17 people at the end? Those 17 people fit all the criteria for what we believe, on my side, your side, whoever it is, right? They're the right fit for me and my agency. And now I need to come up with a specific plan of reaching out to those individuals, whether it's connecting on LinkedIn, Dripify, mixing in some multi-channel approach, doesn't matter. The point is though, you started at was, I don't remember how many companies we even start with, but I think it was 300, 400, 500 companies. And we just got down to 17 in about 2 minutes. So I would say it's pretty efficient.
Build that over and over again. Exactly. Right. What do you say? You said three companies a day, three contacts a day. Once you get comfortable here, that could be 30 companies a day, 30 contacts a day. That's how this builds and builds and builds. And the digital recruiters are spending maybe a couple hours a week on content and prospecting. Once they master this, it opens them up for all the other time, but they have more connection requests sent out, more replies sent out, better responses, better quality responses. And it's like they build it once and it keeps working for you over and over again. Right? You build out the profile once the right way, maybe make a couple of tweaks here and there, right? You get automation set up. And then maybe you're just making some of those messaging tweaks, right? Kevin, like what we fix with yours, right? It's just like, and then it opened up the whole thing, right? It's like you got to see how the first 10 people responded. You made some tweaks and it's like way better going forward. So everything we're doing.
Dude, right there. Yeah. You said it. Guys, what did you say earlier? What was that? What was that demark? What was the demarcation moment? Oh my God. You just said it. You nailed it. And it was like, we need to make sure we touch on this in the show. And you were just going to say it. And I had a train of thought. So, and I messed you up with yours and have lost mine. So I apologize to everybody at home.
I'll jump in and say this. I'll help. Going back to what Clark said about spending time more efficiently around prospecting and coming up with the correct list and who you're going after. Those are all important activities. Those, again, going back to those are the building blocks. But one of my favorite phrases was RGA, revenue generating activities. That is where outreach, that is where meetings, that is where contract negotiations, those are all higher revenue generating activities. Prospecting is a fundamental building block to get to that point, and you need to do it. It is important, but that is a behind the scenes activity. You're not building any brand awareness with your buyer. You're not actually getting in touch with them. Right? Those are high value activities. And so the more time you can spend doing that, and the less time, or maybe more efficiently, I should say, probably better way, but more efficiently, you can spend time doing the low touch, low value activities. If you, I don't even like the term low value activities. I can't get rid of that. But prospecting is an important activity, but getting in front of customers, reaching out to them, that is your high value revenue generating activities. And that's where you want to be spending a bulk of your meeting time.
During the day, you got to be on meetings. You got to be you got to be in it during the day. But this is a Sunday night activity. Like, that's what it is. It's not less important, as you said, Keely, but don't – people that are prospecting at 10 a.m., 11 a.m., I mean, we're doing this at 1:30 as a test, as a training, but this – you got to be on meetings right now. You got to be trying to set up meetings. You got to be interacting with your market from 9 to 5, right? From a sales perspective, right? Candidates, I know it can be – hit them before work, hit them after work. I get all that. It's different. But from a sales side, this is when you're interacting with your clientele, your prospects, your marketing, everything, right? In the comment section, making calls, emails, follow-ups, setting meetings, going on meetings, you know, donut drop-offs, like whatever it is, right? This stuff is – the just recruiters that are mastering this, they're doing this watching Love is Blind at 9 p.m. at night, right? Building all this stuff, right? Watching the Cowboys lose again in the playoffs. Like, they're doing these things.
Sorry. Okay, and I remember what you said. Wow. I don't even want to say it but I will, and I remember what you said. Why did you have to bring that up?
I just see if you're still paying attention.
Dig it. Just dig it. Well, no. And it's guys, everybody, just because you put it in the air, just because you sent a message does not mean you can't tweak it on the next message. And like, if something's not working, you can change it based on research and like, right? Like if a message is not working with prospects, research, see, try to figure it out, and then just experiment with something else. But to your point, we changed my messaging from one set of messaging to another because we noticed that one set wasn't speaking as much to my profile, my messaging, my content. Got a message that speaks a little bit more, game changer. Like immediate game changer.
And it changes the rest of your life. Like once it clicks, that's the thing about this system. Once you find what works for you and your market, that's gold. Like it's gold, and it's digging for gold. 1849, right? You dig, you dig, you dig. Right? Another day, I didn't get it. You go out for 4 months, 6 months, whatever. Then you get it, you're set for life.
Or the other,
that's how this is.
It's like building up a It's like building up a good spaghetti sauce. You got to put in the garlic and the seeds and the salt and the pepper little by little. Okay, see what it tastes like, right? Does it work? Okay, it's not working yet. A little more. Let it cook a little more. Give it a little bit of time. Come back. Does it? Okay, no. But little by little, when you get that recipe right, you can write it down. And then you can follow it over and over and over. And it's going to be just as good as it was the first time.
That's it. And that's where... and we were talking about this before, Kevin, like part of the sometimes the issue people have with what we do is just believability.
Oh my gosh.
Of like how does this all work? This seems too good to be true. All that. Number one, you got to put in the work. You got to show up, right? So you got to do those things. But I remember I did this stuff every day behind the scenes with clients, with the agency I worked for before I started Digital Recruiter. And it's just crazy. I was always managing 15 accounts per day. I was checking the messages morning and night. And I got to see the replies from all sorts of different companies, but everything on LinkedIn, from coaches, from people in SaaS, from people in recruiting, like all that. And it just works. And like we would make a tweet to a campaign, and maybe something wasn't working or getting calls the first week or two, we'd change it. And then they booked like 10, 20 calls. And that could be like $1 million pipeline potentially, or $500,000. And like that was it. And it just came from those tweaks. And it didn't take us weeks or months. Like we just spent a couple hours like making those tweaks and trial and error. And that's what opens up everything. But you got to show up. You got to do it. You got to embrace it. You got to have the patience to be like, it could take a little bit, but it could also work the same day. The amount of people that I've helped with the outreach, and they put everything in the water, they put the boat in the water, and within 3 hours, they're booking calls with their ideal clients, their ideal VPs, C-level. Like, oh man, like, wait, my profile is doing this, my messaging, my outreach. I'm like, yep, this is yours. Like, now you know what to do. Keep doing it. Don't ever stop doing it. Right. And I mean, as we had one example, you know, last year, it's the first 2 days, the connection rate was kind of whatever, 13%, reply rate 2%. It didn't pop off, but one of those replies gave him a job description. This is what we're looking for. He hops on the call. I trained him on exactly how to handle that discovery call. Turned into a $300,000 client of new business from starting March last year. There's one campaign, the messaging, the profile, the prospecting list, you know, the right time, what we talk about, right? The right person at the right time with the right solution. That's all it takes. Right. And you have to have a little bit of trust that you just kind of keep going, but it does work. If you show up, you put in the work, you have it with that approach, this thing will work. Right. But you will have to make tweaks. You can't just sit back and be like, all right, where's my money? Like, well, Joel, you have to be in it.
Joel Embiid, trust the process. Like you have to trust that the process will deliver you to your end result. Yeah. You can't look. I talk about it all the time. I'll say it again. I think I said in the last one. Amateurs look at the right side of the equal sign and professionals look at the left. It's about path over prediction. It's not that you're going to make $500,000 a year this year. That's wonderful. It's how you're going to get there. It's the steps you take. It's those reps, because those reps are going to give you the signals that are going to give you the idea of what the buyer journeys is, that are going to give you the idea of what this person's personality and pain points are, that are going to give you the idea of what you should be talking to. But you don't get to any of that and then the other 37 steps until you start that process. So to believability's point, and it's the hardest thing to prove, because you have to do it and feel it. You have to go through the part of the ego, like letting the ego go. It's not about you. Like there's just so much of the process that you have to go through and feel for yourself again before you believe it. But when you do, that's why we talk about it so freaking passionately, because every single person that we have seen that does the work, it works.
Yeah, it does. So Keely, that's well said, and we can move forward because this, I wouldn't add anything else to that, because you said what needs to be said, but I want to get Keely's perspective on this. So a lot of the questions you get, how do I know how to identify a target account? We're not going to get into the whole thing today. For example, I found a company here. I just clicked on one, RoboFlow. I went onto their LinkedIn. They got 20 million funding, right, via Crunchbase here. I don't know when that happened. They have 19 jobs here. You could go to view Sales Navigator. I mean, guys, if you follow this along and if you follow all the lives that we've done, you could have an absolute breakout year this year. Right, you could easily add all this stuff, or you could, right? You could do high level. It also lets you do, right? You have the view decision makers. It's going to be kind of their own thing, but these are the three that they list, right? So maybe that's here right now. Right, those are the people that you can connect with. You could look at senior, or you could connect with the whole company. But imagine just doing this. How many companies could you add to the list that are more targeted? And then imagine having content that is relevant to this type of company. hiring these types of people, AEs, all that, right, on your profile, showing the wins, you with the targeted prospecting, doing the work, having and doing some of the automation things here, which, you know, and there's some different sequences where you could have 2, 3, 4 message sequences that are trying to open up conversations and post content. I mean, that's why putting in the work here on prospecting is so huge. Keely, thoughts on kind of some of that, but especially as it leads to kind of like picking and figuring out how to get your target accounts.
So how to get your target accounts, I think one of the first things I always encourage everyone to do, if you are not brand new, meaning literally day one, if you either work for a company or you've already been running your agency for a period of time, look back and identify who your best customers and what made them your best customers. Because not all accounts are created equal. And by that, I mean, you could look at 2 of those tech companies we had up on SalesNav. And if you're, let's just say your average placement fee is 20K, you look at both of them and say, yeah, I think I can get 5 placements in both of these accounts or 10 placements, whatever it is, right? 100K, 200K you can make in each one. That's at a surface level. But now it's time to go a little bit deeper and understand what was an ideal customer, what was a perfect customer in the past for you, and compare it to these 2 unknowns. And from there, you can then drop, one of those could drop off, right? Because yes, at face value, both, let's just say, are 100K in expected value that you could get if you were to place people there. But company A, they don't allow direct hiring max and manager access. Their fees are lower. They have a VMS. Company B, oh yeah, you can have direct hire. Yeah, your fees are perfectly fine. No VMS, right? You start getting down underneath the surface and you really quickly will understand that company B is where you want to be spending your time and company A, drop it, right? Yes, at face value, it's 100K that you feel like you're letting go of. That's not true. You're freeing yourself up to finding another better 100K account to go after those ones instead. And I think how you get to that though is looking back at what you've had success with and trying to find companies that replicate that, because not all clients are created equal. And all, quite frankly, not all prospects deserve your time. Like you shouldn't be spending your time at certain places because they're not worth your time. I think a lot of us make the mistake of feeling like we're, I don't know if the word inferior is the right word, but basically, right? We're like
putting them on a pedestal. You put them on a pedestal that they're not better than you.
Right.
Right. And it's funny. We kind of get into doing the work, talk about the work and some of the hard stuff. And I see some people drop off, which is always interesting. Right. When that happens, right. The do the work. It happens, but part of it is what, to your point, is like they're not better than you. These companies, these hiring managers, they're not better than you. You're letting them think they are. And so all this stuff is so you can get on the front foot, right? And B, I love dropping off prospects because it frees my mind. I really don't care. Okay, you reveal that you're not a fit to work with me or that timing is not right. That's fine. I don't have to push you and annoy you. I don't really care to. I can win you over time with content. Or not win you over time with content and you want to follow me. Either way, you're never going to bring revenue to the table. So it's fine. I mean, that's where I want more recruiters and agencies to kind of look at it that way. Like, have your boundaries, know what your line is, right? Kind of the good egg, the bad egg in Willy Wonka. Like, that's what you got to have. And like, be okay with that, right? If you more recruiters have more boundaries, this would be a lot easier. They get a lot more results than, you know, the results they're looking for.
I would say, just like a simple exercise too, or maybe even a, off mantra is the right word, but saying yes to working with a bad client means saying no to working with a good client. That's so every time you say yes to working to a bad client, you're depriving yourself of the opportunity to work with someone better and wasting your time in areas that you shouldn't be with, accounts you shouldn't be working with. So just keep that in mind.
That's why Keely is a sales coach and the digital recruiter mastermind. Puts all these things in a nice bow that you can understand and break down with action items. Again, if that's something you guys have question on, if you're listening to this live or recorded or whatever, reach out to us anytime, right? Book a call on my calendar. I'll talk to you. We'll figure it out. All of us are in the program. We're in the mastermind. We're coaching. We're doing these things live every single day. We're doing a content one Thursday. Me and Kevin, I think, are going to workshop some posts on Thursday. We'll tie together a lot of this stuff there, how to capture the emotion and the feeling of these hiring managers and these companies that you're prospecting on Sales Navigator. So that'll be fun. We're going to do that at the same time, 1 p.m. Eastern Thursday, 10 a.m. Pacific. So make sure to check in. I'm going to create the event for that later, RSVP for that and check in. We're going to be doing these pretty much twice a week going forward. So, gentlemen, any final thoughts before we close this up?
Final thoughts are hard. Like, especially when you cover so much. You go ahead, Kevin. Let's see if I can come up with something.
No, I just think I think it's the flywheel of kind of all the things we've been covering, and it's. I mean, again, it's the stuff that people don't want to hear, but it's the sexy part, and it's the doing the work, because, I mean, it's just the confidence you build. You have a skill set already. Like, let it work for you. Leverage it. The way that you do is building your confidence up so that you're unafraid to experiment, to be creative. Like, that's when the amazing things start to happen, when you can start to do things abstractly, right? When you can start to, when you just feel so confident in what you're doing that you can just take things in multiple ways, knowing that tomorrow's going to be okay. Like, this message is not a make or break. There's a million other organizations that absolutely need your services. So don't worry about this one. Just let it be a lesson and then keep it moving.
I love it.
I guess it gave me time to come up with something. Would be to try to sum it up on the sales side. The stuff we talked about, at least the last two calls I've been on, these are very much slow down to speed up activities, but they are vitally important because you want to use your time efficiently. And that's really what it comes down to. Like, yeah, you can work a million miles an hour in a million different directions and be like a spinning top, or you can take half a day, hell, even a full day, and do these activities, the slow down, to get the right territory plan, to go after the right accounts, to get the right people you want to target, and then you can speed up. But the difference is the impact you're going to have will be so much greater because you did slow down. That's what I'd sum it up as.
You both did really good job summing it up. That's where the people that get the results in a week or two that join us, they put all the pieces together. They typically have a hidden assets in a network that they haven't tapped into. So they put everything together to initially get out there. And they're like, oh, I didn't know you did that. We need a CTO. Can you help me there? Or I didn't know you built your own firm and you're focused on agriculture. We got 8 openings that we can't find. I'm going to get you in touch with HR. Both the things are real stories of digital recruiters from the first week or two of implementing this, right? And then there's 4 months in. Oh, I built 130K last year. And in month 4, after starting to work with you, I built 130K this month, right? Like, that's the stuff, right? So another one on my page, it's like a year later, he went from a 20K average a month to a $200,000 a month, right? So that's 12 months out the road. Like, it's a week or two in. It's 12 months. As Keely and Kevin said, like, you just do it now. You don't know what's waiting on the other side, right? It's like you get a lottery ticket every day. You could scratch off every single day, and you could get $20, you get $20,000, you get $2 million, but like, you're doing it every day versus not. But these, you don't have to spend $20 on it every single day, right? When you're doing it. So like, that's it. Get yourself in the game. Get the system going for you, the approach going for you. Give yourself a chance to be successful in this way and have a good time doing it. That's my takeaway. That's what I'm leaving with.
I love that. Great takeaways, y'all. This is a good end. Very highly actionable show.
Highly actionable. Yeah, not a lot of carrot top props or anything like that today. This was like right between the eyes type stuff. So, gentlemen, I appreciate you. Keely, thank you again for joining us. Kevin, I'll see you on Thursday. Keely, I'll see you in about 5 minutes for our group call. Cool. We'll see you soon.
Bye, everybody.
Bye.
Happy Tuesday.